Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to church. It's really lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us. It's very good to be here, isn't it? Especially perhaps we realise that more than ever off the back of a day like yesterday and the announcements that left so many of us with such heavy hearts. We desperately need the encouragement of gathering as God's people and meeting in his presence and knowing his grace to us. So it's great we're here. Thanks for joining us. We're fewer in number than normal, I think partly because so many people are booked in to come to Carols by Moonlight this evening, which explains. We do have one visitor this morning, you may have noticed, slightly in the theme of Christmas. We have a robin has made its way into the church, and despite our best attempts to catch it just earlier, we didn't manage to do that. So I apologise for the distraction as it flutters around amongst us. It's gone. Isn't the Lord kind? I've been praying about that. That's fantastic. Usual COVID rules. I'm sure you're familiar with them, so please do stay in your seats for the duration of the service unless there's a really urgent reason why you need to move. Do keep masks on unless you're exempt. Please don't sing in the songs, but if you're itching to sing, do come and join us this evening, because wonderfully, we can still sing carols at our outdoor service this evening. So we're looking forward to that. And as ever, if you need the toilet at any stage, we can use the disabled toilet in the village hall, the first one immediately on the right as you head through the door there. Sunday Club are with us for a little while, and we'll then go across to the village hall a little way into the service for some activities and a session of their own over there. It is the Christmas season, it's the carol singing season, very definitely. And it's brilliant, actually, that these songs are pretty much, we pretty much have to sing songs like this, because, well, look at this first one here. It reminds us, doesn't it, that however heavy our hearts may be in the light of yesterday's news about Tier 4, however many reasons we may have to feel despondent and sad, we have so many more reasons to rejoice in the Lord Jesus if we're trusting him. And this first carol that we're going to listen to now captures many of them beautifully and enthusiastically, particularly focusing on the fact that he really is the ruler we desperately need, the one who is righteous and the one who is so very wonderfully loving indeed. He's the king we've come to worship this morning. And so let's do that as we listen to the words of this first carol now. Come now to our prayer of confession, where we turn to him and rely so much on that grace and that love that we were reminded of in verse 3 of that carol. I'm going to read some words from Psalm 103, words we often turn to at this point in our service, where we're told the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's how gracious and loving he is to people like us. He's made a way not to treat us as our sins deserve. And so let's look to him now and pin our hopes on him and on that grace and that love as we pray this prayer of confession together. So we say, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to change what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Psalm 103 continues, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Let's continue in prayer for a moment. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for your grace to us in the Lord Jesus, for the scale and the immensity of your love for us in him, and for the perfect forgiveness that we find in him, for just how infinitely far you remove our sins from us as we look to him. We praise you in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, so we need to get this candles on this Advent wreath lit, and I'm very glad that the Fontaine family have agreed that they'll come and help us with lighting the candles this morning. So thanks so much to them. Up you come, Eliza. Come on, Hugo. Brilliant. Under the watchful supervision of your parents, if you could light all four candles, because it is the fourth Sunday of Advent, that would be brilliant, please. Should we imagine the fourth one's lit? Let's imagine the fourth one's lit. Thank you very much. I think that might have been the one I whacked extra hard with a box of matches to switch it off, to turn it off without blowing on it earlier on. So that's my fault entirely. Thank you very much. That's brilliant. And let's read together the Advent verse that's there in the box, these words from Micah chapter 5. Great promise of the coming Lord Jesus. Let's read together. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Great promise, looking ahead to the Lord Jesus. And actually, we're going to turn back to the Old Testament immediately again as our psalm for today, Psalm 97, another psalm that's often read at Christmas, looking forward to this great ruler and celebrating his rule, the rule that he brings when he comes. So I'm going to invite us all to stand together, as we're getting into the habit of doing now. Let's all stand together and let's enjoy reading Psalm 97 together and celebrate this great God's reign over us in Christ. "The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame, those who boast in idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name." Brilliant. Do grab a seat. We're going to pray, and Lisa will lead us as we do.
Our mission partner for December is Yeldal Manor, which is a Christian drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre near Twyford. And we've also received news in the last week from another of our mission partners over in the Cape Flats area of South Africa, where things are very hard for them at the moment, largely because of the impact of the coronavirus pandemic there. Alan Burt, their pastor, St. Thomas's Church, and his wife Debbie is a board member of Arise, which is the Christian Adoption and Family Support Centre that's linked to that church. And Gary Bedison's the local bishop there and has visited us here in Barkham before, and he now leads a church nearby to them, which is St. Timothy's. So we're going to include all of them in our prayers today. So let's pray. God in heaven, we've just read in Psalm 97 that you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. And so we come to you with confidence, not only that you love to hear us as we speak to you, but also that you have power to answer our prayers. We thank you for your ongoing provision of all the things that are needed at Yeldal and for protecting residents there from COVID-19 so far. Please would you bring Treff, the director, to a full recovery from the virus, and continue to give him and the rest of the staff great wisdom in how to keep the house safe. Thank you for the new initiative of the Esther Time Helpline. Please use this to bring much needed support to women who may be struggling with their drinking, and may more be able to access this service. Over Christmas, we pray for all those struggling with addictions, that they may resist the temptation to seek out drugs or alcohol. And we do pray that Christmas may be a time of peace and joy at Yeldal Manor. May staff be able to make this a special time for the residents, despite restrictions. And may residents listen to the Christmas story, meet with Jesus, and find their hope and security in him. Amen. Mighty God, we lift to you brothers and sisters around the world in need of special assurance of your love and fatherly care at the moment, thinking especially of the impact of a second wave of coronavirus in South Africa. We pray for Alan and Debbie Burt and the staff at Arise as they mourn the death of their colleague Naomi from COVID. May they trust in your plan. At this time, may they stand firm and continue to declare your goodness to a broken world in the midst of their personal grief. We pray too for Gary Bedison and his family and the whole of St. Timothy's Church, where the impact of illness and death has led to many emotional and financial struggles. Please may they know that you are close to them in their suffering through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Please give them wisdom as they meet as a church next week and have to take hard decisions about the church and the preschool for next year. And please move our hearts to support them in prayer and financially as we're reminded at Christmas of your immense generosity to us in the person of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Our first carol had these words in it: joy to the world, the Saviour reigns. Father in heaven, we thank you for the many opportunities we still have, despite coronavirus restrictions, to celebrate Christmas and to take your message to those we know and those in our local area. Thank you for the online video carol and Christingle services that are available via the church website already. Please may these be an encouragement, especially to those who don't feel able to attend anything in person this year, and especially given the news of our move to Tier 4. Please show us opportunities to share these online services widely. We thank you that the move to even stricter pandemic control measures this morning hasn't precluded us meeting together. We thank you that many people are booked in for the carol service this evening. Please may they come. Please provide good weather and may everything run smoothly. In these dark days, may our moonlit service proclaim the light of Jesus Christ our Lord coming into the world. And please would many be drawn to the life that only he can give. We continue to pray for your mercy on our world and for our country in the grip of this pandemic. Please bring healing and please equip those in government to take wise and gracious decisions. Please may we all respond responsibly over the Christmas period to limit the spread of the virus. And whether in person or by phone or video call or on walks, may we have encouraging words for those who are believers, and may we be faithful in our witness to those who aren't yet Christians. Amen. Finally, Heavenly Father, we pray for those in our church family who are going through hard times at the moment. We pray that you would provide for all of their needs and that they would know that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. Help us all to trust you daily and to believe this, even when it seems too good to be true. We pray for John and Jean Wall, and thank you that they appear to continue to recover from the coronavirus. Please may that continue, and please give them great peace as they rest in your kind and sovereign care. Please sustain Matthew and Helen in caring for them. We pray for the Tokley family who moved from our church here to church at the Green, as Claire goes in to have surgery tomorrow for cancer. Please be close to them all, and please give Church at the Green church family all that they need to support that family well. We pray for Rachel as she continues to recover from her accident. Please be close to the whole family. And we pray for Tom and Annie as they await the arrival of their baby. Give them patience and good health. And for others known to us who are feeling fragile or vulnerable at this time, please help each one to look to you, to know that you are close, that you're close to all of us in the struggles that we face. We bring our prayers to you, our Father in heaven, asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's time for children and youngsters to head across to Sunday Club. I should just, before you go, mention that we do have one birthday in the church family this week. Joshua Pugh, I don't think Joshua is with us this morning, but Joshua is two in a couple of days' time. So Joshua, if you're listening in, we wish you a very happy birthday. And if you're heading across to Sunday Club, now is the time to go. Parents, if you wouldn't mind taking children over and just dropping them off and doing whatever's required at the other end to drop them off, that would be great. And then we'll see you in a few moments' time. While we just wait while people head out, do feel free to chat quietly to someone next to you. We've got just a moment or two. Hush descends. We're going to continue by saying the creed together. This great statement of Christian faith was encouraging to think how many millions, maybe billions of people have said these words over the years, down through the centuries and around the world. Others who also trust in this God who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. If that's you, I invite you to declare that now too. Let's all stand to do that. We stand to say the creed together. So we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Do grab a seat. We're going to turn to God's word again now. Tom is going to come and bring us our reading, and then Julian will come and preach.
This morning reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 57. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are full of grace and truth. And we pray that in your kindness, that you would speak words of truth to us this morning, that we would receive them and believe them, that we might know your grace all the more, that it might encourage us, feed us, and build us up, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I must say I'm really looking forward to our Christmas services, starting this evening, and especially being able to sing again. It'd be a great joy for us to praise God together. And I know for many of us, it is the thing, the aspect about church at this time that we most want to return to normal. We long to sing again. Well, given we feel that, I thought we might understand a little bit of what Zechariah must have felt in this passage. Silenced for 9 months, in his case, because he hadn't believed the message of the angel that came to him, telling him that his wife Elizabeth would have a baby,
she being so old. And he didn't believe it. The angel said, okay, you won't speak until the baby is born. No singing, no speaking, no nothing, until this moment when suddenly his mouth is opened and he bursts out in praise, what we know as Zechariah's song. And we're going to look at that song this morning because it's a spectacular announcement of what God is about to do that first Christmas. And I think it's going to be very helpful for us. It's very easy to be distracted at Christmas, isn't it? Easily distracted. Usually distracted by all of the paraphernalia. If you've got children, you'll know it's very hard to keep them focused on the meaning of Christmas. We get distracted by everything that needs doing. It's such a busy time. And then, of course, this year, the pandemic distracts us. It could dominate our thinking. Maybe our plans have been cancelled and we're very disappointed. Easy to lose sight of the good news. Well, Zechariah's song's just what we need to hear. And we're going to look at it. First, we're going to see that the build-up to this song. There's a kind of growing anticipation around it. And then we'll look at the song itself, which will tell us that Christmas is part of something huge, part of God's glorious great plan of salvation, and that it addresses our greatest need. So let's first notice this growing anticipation surrounding the birth of this baby to Elizabeth in her old age. And the way that Luke makes us experience that is by following the crowd of relatives and neighbours who, in verse 58, hear that God has blessed her in this remarkable way. So they come to celebrate with her. And we kind of go through it all with this crowd. Things get all the more intriguing on the eighth day when it's time to circumcise the child and give him his name. Now, at that time, no one would have reached for a scroll of, you know, different baby names. It was easy. His father was Zechariah. Very likely he would be called Zechariah too. And the crowd are all ready to do that. But then verse 60, Elizabeth pipes up. No, he is to be called John. And that causes a bit of confusion. They say, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Can't be right. Maybe they wondered if Elizabeth is trying to sort of sneak in her name preference whilst Zechariah can't really say anything about it. So they decide to check with Zechariah. Not very straightforward at that time. Bit of charades for them. He calls for a writing tablet. And Luke really underlines the surprise. Verse 63, to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. And immediately, Zechariah's 9-month silence is broken, and he begins to speak, praising God in the words of the song that follows. And just imagine that moment. We feel it again through the reaction of the crowd. Verse 65, all the neighbours were filled with awe. And Luke says, throughout the region, suddenly it was all anybody could talk about. And as news spread, one question starts to arise in people's minds. Who's this baby? Verse 66. What then is this child going to be? And the answer comes in the song that follows. I have to say, there's a lot of Christmas music in our household at the moment, a lot of Christmas songs being played. Not all of them, in my opinion, really worth hearing. But Zechariah's song is well worth hearing because the words are not only his. Look at verse 67. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And then the song follows. So God himself is speaking through his words, through this song. And when God speaks, it goes without saying that we should listen carefully. Two things to take on board from this song. The first is this. This is God's great plan of salvation that's happening. It's God's great plan of salvation. We're thinking about what it means to be saved. Now, when we think of that, that's a familiar idea to Christians, being saved. But if I was to ask you, what's the best thing about God's salvation? I very much doubt you would say anything like what Zechariah says in his song in verses 68 to 75. With its references to the God of Israel and David and God's covenant to Abraham, it feels like an Old Testament passage. And the point is, it's very much a picture of everything the Old Testament was longing for. You see, the story of the Old Testament is that, well, Israel had this amazing history and privilege of being God's chosen people, but the last event in the diary was humiliation, being conquered by the Babylonians, the temple being destroyed, taken into exile, and then, well, a few of them came back and rebuilt a little bit. But really, since then, the story has not changed. They've been living under foreign rule, foreign oppression. And nothing's changed. Zechariah's silence is like a symbol of the frustration that Israel's been feeling for hundreds of years. But now, suddenly, the silence is broken. And as Zechariah opens his mouth, he proclaims that these amazing promises of God from the Old Testament are being fulfilled. Verse 68 describes God as redeeming his people, just like he redeemed them from Egypt centuries earlier. Verse 69 talks about salvation coming through a mighty savior, the horn of salvation. It's a poetic way of describing the Messiah, that one promise from the house of David. Verse 71 paints an image of Israel being given relief from her enemies. And then verse 74 describes them enjoying permanent peace and security so they can serve God without fear anymore in holiness and righteousness all their days. See, Zechariah is proclaiming everything that they have been longing for hundreds of years. And in fact, his words are so full of confidence, he speaks as though it's already happened. God has come and redeemed his people. And why is he that confident? Well, surely it's because of the other miraculous birth that is about to take place. The horn of salvation, that mighty rescuer from the house of David, he is about to be born in Bethlehem. And so this old priest, with his voice returned, he takes a deep breath and he throws back his head and he praises God in this song. So what does all this teach us? Well, one thing is, it really opens our eyes to the fact that our relationship with God that we have through Jesus is part of a much bigger story, a much bigger plan. And God's saving plan, it reminds us it doesn't center on you and me. Rather, in his kindness, God has included us in his much greater plan. It's a real challenge to us in our very kind of me-centered culture. You know, we like to think we're at the center of everything, to understand that salvation is a much bigger project that God is doing. Now, don't misunderstand me. Salvation is personal, and the gospel calls people to respond personally. But as individuals come to Christ, it's part of a much bigger plan that God has planned from all eternity, as we saw in Romans 8. A plan, well, that he promised to Abraham, that he started to fulfill through Israel, through that promise to David, through the words of the prophets, that will eventually bring about the overthrow of all his enemies and will one day bring the gathering of people from all nations and every language to worship in his new creation forever. Salvation is a vast project. And Zechariah reminds us of that. So when we praise God for saving us, and we should do that every day, let's also praise him. It's not just about us. He's unfolding a magnificent plan. He's fulfilling every promise he's ever made in the Lord Jesus. So praise God for his awesome plan of salvation. Well, we don't know what Zechariah's neighbors and relatives made of this great outburst from the old priest, but their question is still hanging in the air. So God may be fulfilling his great plan, but what part is this child, this baby, going to play? And Zechariah says he will tell us about our greatest need. Our greatest need, verses 76 to 79. You can almost imagine Zechariah holding up his baby boy as he speaks in verse 76. He says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." This is exactly what the angel had said. John would go ahead of the Lord to make a people ready for the salvation he'll bring. You know, if we're used to the idea, if someone important is due to visit, There are usually lots of people who arrive beforehand to get things ready. Used to like Billy Connolly, he used to have this joke about the fact that he thought that the Queen probably thought the whole world smelled of paint, because wherever she goes, there's already someone just ahead of her who's always putting on a sort of fresh coat. There's always preparations going on for important people. Well, John, as a prophet, will get things ready with a message. And his message is nothing less than to explain how God's awesome plan of salvation for his people and for his world is going to be accomplished. So how's it going to happen? Verse 77. You will give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Now I wonder, does that feel like a bit of an anticlimax? To many of the Jews of Zechariah's day, it certainly would have done. You know, they'd been living under the boot of various oppressors for centuries, Babylonians, Persians, now the Romans. What they wanted was a return to their former glory. Surely they thought, this great horn of salvation from the line of David, he'll be a warrior king who can restore our fortunes. And you can see why they struggle to accept Jesus when he comes. But that's because they didn't understand that their biggest problem wasn't living under Roman rule any more than it had been being in exile in Babylon. Those things had happened because of their sin, because of their persistent rejection of and rebellion against God. Just listen to what the prophet Jeremiah said when he wanted Israel to know what would happen to them. He said, when people ask, why has the Lord our God done all this to us? You will tell them, as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your own land, so you now will serve foreigners in a land not your own. See, all this trouble stemmed from their rejection of God. And therefore, the thing they needed more than anything was to know that God had forgiven them. Well, if that was a lesson Israel needed to learn, then it's one that we really need to take on board as well. Most of us have a great sense that there's something wrong with our world, but we so easily give the wrong diagnosis. We say the problem is social inequality, or it's a lack of education, or it's the economy, or it's the breakdown of the family. And when we do, what we're doing when we say those things is that we're spotting the symptoms, not the underlying cause. We're like a doctor saying, oh, your problem is you've got a rash, or your problem is you've got spots, rather than diagnosing the underlying condition. See, the things we see around us that are wrong are symptoms of the fact that we live in a fallen world because of our sin, because of our rejection of God. At some level, it underlies everything that is wrong with our world, even what we're facing at the moment. All the pain and brokenness of our world, they're warning signs that we are actually heading towards a greater crisis. As verse 79 puts it, we're people who live in the shadow of death, when we will not only die, but face God's judgment. See, that is the backdrop against which we need to hear John's message. But given that backdrop, isn't it the best news? And Zechariah's voice, probably a bit croaky, don't you reckon? But it should be music to our ears to know salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. Isn't that just exactly what we need? And of course, it comes through the mighty Saviour, born of the house of David, the one born in humility, the one who dies in shame on a Roman cross for us. So what do we need to do? We need to go to him. We need to go to him for forgiveness. Have you done that? And if you have, are you still doing that? Only Jesus can forgive your sins. But Zechariah helps us to appreciate Jesus even more than that as he goes on, because he tells us why God has done such a thing. You know, why should God forgive Israel? Why should he forgive us? See the answer in verse 78? Because of the tender mercy of our God. Love those words. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, well, why would God forgive us? It's just the kind of thing that he would do. It's just the kind of God he is. He's a God of tender mercy. He's not harsh. He's not cold. But it's not mere sentimentality, because Zechariah says, actually, God's mercy is going to bring about everything he's ever promised. See verse 78, his tender mercy is the means by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. He's saying that God's mercy and forgiveness will lead to everything else in our world being put right. And it's like the rising sun that will lead us home. It's a lovely image. It's a bit like, I don't know, I once heard this, that it's like, imagine a group of people who are walking in the mountains late in the day and they miss time their return. And so the sun's going down rapidly. It's too dangerous for them to head down. And they know they're going to have to stay on the mountain overnight. And imagine morale's very low, it gets very cold. There's a long, long wait till morning. But imagine the feeling when the first rays of sunshine start to reveal the landscape. And gradually, the path down becomes visible until they know they're going to be okay and they can head home. And Zechariah says that God's forgiveness is like that. It's like the light of a new day that brings us out of darkness and it shows us the way home to where all will be well. You know, if God has done that most important thing, bringing our forgiveness through Jesus, that we might be reconciled to him, be friends with him, well, he's certainly going to put everything else right too. And he's certainly going to take us home, as he promised, permanent peace and security in his heavenly home, in the new creation. He will do that one day. He will fulfill all our deepest longings. But forgiveness of sins is the key. It's the heart of it all. Well, this Christmas, many things we can't sing, but God invites us to have this song in our hearts, that we'd be people who praise God for the scale of his amazing plan of salvation, and we'd rejoice that he's met our greatest need. Well, let's pray to him. Our Father, we acknowledge that so often we do live as though everything is about us. And we praise you for this passage and the way that it just lifts our eyes above ourselves to see what you are doing and what you have done in Jesus. We thank you for revealing your amazing plans. And we thank you for drawing us into those plans through bringing us what we need most of all, a Saviour who can forgive our sins. We thank you for your tender mercy. And we pray that you would help us to put our hope in Jesus, to receive that forgiveness, and to trust him. For we ask it in his name. Amen.
Well, Christmas is a time for singing. It started with Zechariah singing over his son. Continued, of course, with the angels above the shepherds out on the hills that night. And this final carol that we're going to listen to now reflects on their song. I love this carol. It's so realistic about what life now is like, especially we'll see that in verse 3, but so confident too in how things will one day be, verse 4, because Jesus has come. Let's listen to these words.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us this morning. Having rejoiced earlier this week that in Tier 3 we were still allowed to do groups of six outside, in public places at least, now we're in Tier 4, we're not allowed to do that, I'm afraid. So I'm afraid we can't sort of linger in the churchyard as we've been used to on recent Sundays, catching up with one another in groups of six. I think it's one to one in a public place. So Church Lane, just the road out there, is a public place. So I would encourage you to make the most of opportunities for one-to-one conversations as you head back to cars now and back to the car park. That would be a great thing to do. Let me lead us in a final prayer based on Romans chapter 8, that chapter we've got to know well in the last few weeks. Let's pray. Now may the God who did not even hold back his very own son, but handed him over for us all, provide us with every good thing we need in order to do his will, and do in us what pleases him this week and forever. Amen.